Hey, everybody, and welcome to the second season, episode one of Everything Culture. I am Kara Warner, the Everything Culture host, and today I want to introduce the topic of being a victim versus a willing participant of narcissistic abuse. And just as a disclaimer, I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm just speaking on my own personal life experiences and the research that I've come across over the years about narcissistic personality disorder, or NPD. Okay, so the narcissistic personality types are generally attracted to people who have codependent attachment styles. And to be clear, the narcissist can be attracted to damn near anybody so long as their needs are being met, right? But the narcissist and the codependent are seemingly a match made in heaven, because the codependent is addicted to giving and giving and giving, while the narcissist is addicted to constantly receiving. So like for me, I know that I have a codependency issue. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the four different attachment styles, there are many resources you can Google that will explain how these attachments are developed and what it looks like to be in a relationship with one of the four or all. So on YouTube, I follow Stephanie Lynn Coaching and Thais Gibson. They are one of many whose platforms are dedicated to explaining the concept of attachment styles within a relationship. Okay, so going back to my own experience with my own attachment style, because I've been fixated on my own childhood trauma centered around abandonment and rejection issues, I have historically gravitated towards choosing men who are completely and utterly emotionally unavailable, I guess as a project of some sort. The point is to prove to myself that I am lovable and worthy by taking on this, you know, the savior mentality. I'm the fixer in my mind. If I could fix the most complex areas in my man's life, he would love me and see me worthy, right? And then therefore he would never neglect or abandon me, and we would live, you know, happily ever after and ride into the sunset, you know, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Listen, that has never worked out for me. I could meet a homeless man on the street. Okay. Offer him a place to stay, a job, food, fix him up aesthetically, pay that man's mortgage for a year. And after having done all of that, that man is still not obligated to love me. So when we get into these entanglements, you know, I had to throw a little bit of Jada Pinkett in there with a narcissist. And just for the sake of this topic, I'm going to give the clinical definition of narcissistic personality disorder, or NPD. So NPD is a mental health condition in which people have an unreasonably high sense of their own importance. They need and seek too much attention and want people to admire them. People with this disorder may lack the ability to understand or care about the feelings of others. But behind the mask of extreme confidence, they are not sure of their self-worth and are easily upset by the slightest criticism. Okay, so when a codependent becomes involved with a narcissist, like I said before, this seems like a match made in heaven, right? Because the codependent is often a people pleaser, someone who is often hyper empathetic, places other people's feelings and needs before their own, loves to come up with solutions and fix problems. They essentially want to prove the importance of their presence in the narcissist's life. But just as the narcissist, behind the mask is a severely broken individual with the lack of self-worth and confidence that's necessary to carry a healthy relationship. So do you see how, you know, this is the perfect storm leading into a disastrous circumstance? The narcissist and the codependent become trauma bonded, and therefore causing this cycle of idolization, devalue, disengagement, and or discard. So within this cycle, there's the love bombing phase, where the narcissist is going to do, say, act the way in which he or she feels the codependent. And in this case, we're just going to use he or she for the sake of conversation, or whatever attachment style they're with at the time. They're going to mirror that person, or mirror what they feel that person wants and desires from them, which is also called, again, mirroring. And listen, the codependent is loving this treatment, y'all. Like, the codependent has waited her whole life for this type of love, okay? Quote unquote love. And now, although she's probably been through this cycle with different men before, she is now feeling like this could be the one or could be it. And if she can just fix and solve all of this, the man's problems, he will love her and change all his character flaws for her. But baby, that ain't it. That is not it. There's more, okay? So this phase may go on for several months, but maybe after, month three or four, the codependent may observe that the narcissist has fallen back a little. Like, he ain't trying to do the things he was doing when they first met. The dates start, you know, kind of scaling back. The phone calls and text messages may decrease. You know, y'all ain't spending the same amount of time together that y'all used to. But dude may be sprinkling a little bit of breadcrumbs here and there for her to, you know, keep the interest. This type of behavior marks the devalue phase. Okay, so at around this time, the narcissist may be entertaining one or several other women. And mind you, the narcissist isn't looking for someone he can love. He's looking for supply. The narcissist is probably getting bored and or in his worldview, she isn't providing him, the primary source isn't providing him with the same level of supply that she once was. So now at this point, the codependent, you know, she's kind of peeping game, but she's hanging in there because she doesn't have any boundaries at this point. The codependent wants to be loved so bad that she is willing to bend in order to keep the narcissist's interest, although nothing she does is keeping him interested at this point. He's already made up in his mind at this point that he's going to discard her. Okay, so before the discard, the narcissist may start showing signs of abuse, whether it be subtle insults, which is considered verbal abuse. He may ghost the codependent or give her the silent treatment after a small misunderstanding or argument, which is considered manipulation and is a form of emotional abuse. And really, he may just stop communicating altogether just because he knows she's going to be there when he decides to return. By now, the narcissist knows the codependent has low self-esteem, low self-worth, lack of self-confidence, no boundaries pertaining to the relationship, and he knows he has control over the direction of the relationship at this point. So now the final discard may be drawing near, where the narcissist ends the relationship, leaving the codependent confused, embarrassed, and heartbroken, essentially. Now, this can be a quote-unquote boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, and it can even be a marriage, all right, that ends in divorce. Now, as I mentioned, this is not always, but often enough, the codependent may have experienced some form of abuse within the relationship, whether it be mental, psychological, emotional, and or verbal. And for those who have been in any kind of abusive relationship, you know that deep scars and wounds are essentially left behind for the victim to try to heal without much closure. And so, yes, at this point, the codependent has become a victim of narcissistic abuse, which now leads us into the question of, are we left as victims or are we willing participants? And this question is in no way meant to minimize the anguish and the insurmountable pain that is associated with any kind of abuse. But in order for former victims such as myself to enter into a healing phase, for me, it seems like there needs to be some type of self-accountability. Some type of form of accountability needs to be taken as a result of such a relationship being had. Like, I can only speak for myself. I literally had to ask myself after exiting a narcissistic codependent relationship, am I a victim or am I a willing participant? Meaning, did I have the knowledge and the discernment at that time to understand what was happening. Yet at the same time that that knowledge and the understanding was adopted, did I still decide to ignore it? Because I'd rather have the attention of a man than to be left alone. And if I were willing to accept the abuse of someone that wasn't even matching half of what I was putting out within the relationship, then doesn't that mean I was first abusing myself? No, this isn't victim shaming. This is self-accountability. I want to make that very clear. Is it possible to be a victim and a willing participant at the same time? And my answer is this. Yes, it's very much so possible to be a victim and a willing participant at the same time. If any of you listening has been in a narcissistic codependent relationship, I would love to hear your thoughts. Shoot me a message and share with me your opinion. Thank you for listening. And until next time, take care.